couple for me to get to know. That's Dave and Heidi Borum, and so I'll ask them to come on up. They were connected with Joe and some of the folks at New Hope and have been with us for quite a while now. But I'll get them to just talk about their journey a little bit and tell them a little bit about yourselves and how you got here.
So I'm going to start?
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, shouldn't look familiar to everybody because I got a little wet a couple weeks ago. But anyway, we've been here for a couple of years now, thankfully. We got to know Pastor Brad and Grant and Josh as they were getting ready to marry us, which was a wonderful time, and it's been continued to be wonderful. And so anyway, about me, right now I'm in cybersecurity and stuff, having a ball doing that stuff. You know, something always new happening. And I had a little plan in my mind today about what I was going to say to you, but then, you know, I got a text just a little bit before I came up here. Anyway, as I explain this to you and Heidi, she doesn't know about it, I'm hoping it'll touch your hearts because it ties into why we're here, part of the family of Oak Grove, and what we can bring to the table, and that's the Lord's table. And so I got a really good friend down in Florida, and he told me yesterday that his little grandniece, little Mila, about 50 days old, she's been fighting for her life. She has a tumor, not supposed to survive, so the doctor said the only choice you have is surgery. However, surgery is likely to kill her. So they said, pray that something happens Wednesday morning. Well, anyway, the change is, I was just told that she's in surgery now. So I just wanted to stand before you all and just say, you know, would you come before the Lord with me to lift her in prayer? Anyway, Lord, as we come before you this morning, just our hearts ache for little Mila in her fight for life. Just pray that you would touch the healthcare professionals as they work on her to save her life. And pray that you would touch their families' hearts, who are certainly under attack, in their faith for you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. That was not rehearsed.
No. Well, for me, I grew up in a loving family. We went to Catholic Church as I grew up. My dad died when I was 15, and I guess I never really knew the Lord, though. I just, until I was 32 years old, even growing up in the church, I just never really felt like I knew the Lord. I felt more like I was going through the motions. When I was 32, I had happened upon KTIS, and I learned what it was to pray the prayer of salvation, and so I came to the Lord through KTIS ministries.
Cool.
And since then, it's been a long road of the Lord working on me and me getting in my own way and just kind of repeating the same things, but the Lord was always there. He was always there, and eventually, he did bring me to my previous church, New Hope Church, and that's where he put a lot of good people in my life, a lot of good Bible studies and ministries there that really helped me. Eventually, I went through Freedom in Christ and some prayer ministry, and that's when I really, really started to change and have a relationship with the Lord. And after that, I started praying for wisdom, discernment, and because all the things I've decided on my own in the past didn't always work out so great. And so then the Lord, right after that, the Lord pretty much brought David. And I was like, really? And so I just sat and prayed.
Positive.
I sat because I knew something was happening there. And I said, it can't be for me this time, Lord. It has to be from you. So I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I felt really like I had the blessing with David. And since then, we've just been together. I've really grown a lot with him, and Our church wasn't available to marry us, so that's when Joe Comrick had introduced us to Pastor Brad. And so we started meeting with him, and we got married here, and we've been here ever since. And we just really feel the Lord has just led us to this church, as we both had. We both had a past in our other church, and this was something the Lord wanted us to start out fresh together here, and we just really love the teaching and the community that we found here.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, can't beat that. Thanks for sharing your stories and your life, and we'll bring you back up in a little bit, but thanks for those pieces. We really appreciate it. So the next couple is another one of our younger couples, Mike and Ellie McNault, and so I'm going to ask them to come on up. And I had to really work on getting these guys to narrow it down to 5 minutes, because you know how they like to go on kind of thing. But no, I'm just kidding. They've been a lot of fun. They've been through a lot of journey and a lot of life, and we've had the opportunity to be with them in this journey. But just, you know, introduce yourselves, talk a little bit about your journey and how you got to being here today, Affirming Covenant Community, with us.
Hi, my name is Mike. This is my wife, Eleanor. We have one lovely child named Eva. If you don't know her, she's a pistol. I grew up Catholic, so we did go to church, depending on the holiday. So I started coming to Oak Grove in high school. We both got baptized here. We got married here, and we've pretty much been here ever since. I came to Oak Grove with a friend in high school, and I started coming more often because I thought Ellie was, well, you get the picture. Here we are. The youth pastor at the time. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay.
The youth pastor at the time then sat me down and really hit me over the head with a 2x4 and said, you know, there's more to this story than what meets the eye. And why do I want to belong at Oak Grove? Grant and Brad both hit the nail on the head. Family. We feel very welcome here. We feel like this is our family away from family. And I feel personally it's the duty of the man to lead the family. And this is pretty much our next step that I feel like. My skill set, what I feel like God has planned for me, the short answer is no idea. I have military, security, law enforcement background. But if God says, you're going to sing on Sunday mornings, well, that'll be a little interesting. Josh is back there saying no. Yeah, you're right. I probably won't. If you've ever heard me sing, no. But yeah, so hopefully I can bring some to the table.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Okay, I'm Ellie. Most of you guys know me. I sing on Sunday mornings on the worship team. I grew up in a very strict, like, Lutheran church. You know, you had to sit in the pew a certain way, and it just really wasn't welcoming to, you know, come as you are type. And so my family ended up leaving that church, and we ended up coming here when my sister was little, back in like 2009. And it really wasn't until, I don't know, 16, 17, when I was struggling with a lot of self-worth and self-esteem, bad relationships, eating disorders, kind of a whole thing that a lot of teenagers struggle with, that the youth pastor and my amazing mentors kind of knocked some sense into me and really started diving and really pushing to see me succeed. That I came to know who Christ really was and what he thought of me instead of what I thought of myself. And we were baptized actually on the same day in a lake in the beginning of May. So that was freezing, but it was worth it. Let's see. We belong. Why we want to be here? Well, it's after years of coming here, because we've been here for a while now, that we discovered that this is our family. Everyone is just so welcoming and just so amazing, and we just really want to affirm that. And as far as future CCs, is just to keep encouraging the people in our lives. So we, you know, we really have been encouraging our friends to come and more family to come. And then obviously my gift of music, and just really want to push that forward and use that to bring more people here.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, thank you guys. Why don't you go have a seat for a moment, and appreciate you sharing your story. The last couple, even though it's not the last couple that's in this process, but the ones this morning, is James and Courtney Huber, and so I'm going to ask them if they would come up, and there they are, right there. Lights are too bright. And just same kind of idea, just give us a little snapshot of who you are and your lives, and come on over here to the podium, and this will be a good spot. So whoever wants to take it first is whoever. And just introduce yourselves to people. I know not everybody has a chance to get to know you, and a little bit about how you got here.
Sure. I'm Courtney Huber, married to James, and he's being a gentleman letting me go first, but he's really just too nervous to go first. I'm kidding. We have two children, one on the way. Jack is 6, and Cora is 3, almost 4. My faith story, I grew up in a Christian home also. Actually relate a lot with what Bethany said. My parents became believers out of the Catholic Church, but their families were very strong Catholics, so that was a very interesting process, I'm sure, for them. And something that I watched them, of course, as a little kid, go through, but they really took a stand on the things that they wanted to incorporate into our family. I feel that God really had an amazing role in my life just from very, very young. I was saved at the age of 5, and I see my son now, who is 6 years old, and we have these conversations with him, and I think it's incredible that God placed it on my heart to come forward in church on Sunday to ask about how can I become saved? How can I go to heaven? And, of course, my son is asking those questions now, too, but understanding his understanding level and what mine must have been at the age of 5, I think, wow, that's so cool that the Lord, I believed when I was little, and he held me in that, you know, as I was learning more and more about it along the way. So we came to Oak Grove through friends. I was invited to a MOPS group about a year ago, or a year and a half ago, I guess. But it was Sunday or Saturday mornings, and I can't make those very often. So we didn't actually come and check out the church until about a year after that, and was very pleasantly surprised, I guess. I didn't expect such a warm and welcoming community from a smaller church. And friendships have been really easy to form, I guess, and looking forward to building those relationships. And the last gentleman that just spoke, talking about how God wants to use them to create disciples or whatever, I don't know. Like, whatever God has, that something he'll put on my heart, and hopefully I'll step up to the plate and do it. But that's a bit of my story.
I was just being a gentleman, ladies first. My spiritual journey started when I was 5 years old. My mom led me to Christ through prayer, and I got saved and believed in eternal life since that age. God has been with me from that point, and I mean, he's always been with me, even from birth, but from age 5, I had God with me, and I got to go to a Christian school I graduated from in St. Cloud, and then I also went to a Christian church there where I was baptized. And we ended up going out to California for a couple of years, and we became members of a church out there that we really loved and got to fellowship with some cool believers out there. and came back about 5 years ago and just, you know, looking around, tried out some various churches in the Twin Cities, and, you know, came across Oak Grove one morning just thinking about maybe looking at something else from what we were doing. So been really excited to be here. People have been so super friendly and welcoming, and I think that's the theme you've been hearing. But for us, it's been true as well. And we just really, we live a couple miles from here, so we're here in Golden Valley. And we just really want to affirm our covenant with Oak Grove and take that next step. And we think that, you know, having a place where we can come and get support and prayer, because we're going to need it, is great. So good move for us. And we just, you know, we really feel that you know, the Great Commission is applicable to us as well. And, you know, going to make disciples, we just feel that that is, you know, God is with us as we do that, and it's trusting God, and, you know, you trusting God that your experiences and the things that you've done in life will be relatable to others, and that you can involve yourself with others and just have people, you know, others that, you know, need Christ, just showing them that they can trust God, they can trust His Word, His living Word, and that it can influence their lives as well. And as we continue to be followers of Christ, we just want to, you know, share that with others. So, yeah, that's, and we we both have our own businesses. We are independent contractors, so we enjoy that as well. So, yeah.
Very good. Well, I need to remind people, if you're not quite sure what you're going to do in terms of contributing to the process, I think if you keep being warm and welcoming, that's a pretty good start, it sounds like. So, but anyway, well, why don't you guys sit down? Thank you for sharing a bit of your story and your life. You know, I wanted to introduce everybody first, and we'll bring them back in a minute, but I also want to remind you of just kind of what a community of grace looks like. And it's really, this is just kind of a snapshot because it's going to be very brief, but I was thinking of Colossians chapter 2 and 3, and it's fascinating because chapter divisions, such as they are, sometimes aren't particularly helpful. In chapter 2:20, he's really talking about the gospel, and he says, if you've died with Christ to the elementary things of this world, don't let your life be driven by a bunch of rules and regulations made by man. It looks might look okay, but it's not what God wants. Chapter 3, verse 1, he talks about if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. And he goes on and talks about how we need to sort of put away the old life, and then we need to come and embrace the new way of life. And when he gets down to chapter 10, verse 10 of chapter 3, he says this, and have put on the new self, or the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we are a new creation in Christ, and it's being constantly renewed by the work of the Spirit so that we constantly being imprinted by the image of Christ and the image of God. And he says in verse 11, and this is kind of one of the first marks of a community of grace, is the value of every single person. And he puts it in a very interesting way. He says, this is a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. And if it does anything else, it says there's no sense, if there's anything that a community of grace ought to do, is recognize that when a person trusts Christ, that at least in theory, all the sense of human prejudice and distinctions and all those kinds of things disappear. Every single person has value before God in exactly the same way. There isn't one person who's more important than another standing before Him. There's no distinctions. And so the value of every person is profoundly significant in a community of grace. The second one is in verse 12, which means that God has chosen us. It's not even so much, Paul says this in Galatians, it's not so much that we've chosen Him, but He's chosen us. And it says very simply, and so as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved. So the word holy means to be set apart. God has called us to Himself, first and foremost. He set us apart, and we are beloved. We are greatly and lavishly loved by God. And you heard it in some of the testimonies that a lot of our journey is learning how to anchor my identity in who God says I am, not in what I think or other people think, that because that becomes one of the most freedom-giving type elements of the entire Christian life, is the freedom God gives us to know that we are greatly loved. He calls us specifically to himself so that he might love us, and we are chosen by him. The characteristics that are in here, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, has nothing to do with roles and responsibilities or leadership positions. It has nothing to do with that. He's not talking about those things. What he's saying is that this is what ought to be true for every person in the body. You know, we often want to say, well, God's will for you is different than mine, and that's because we think circumstantially. But here he's saying that as a body, a grace community, that God calls us to the same thing, to have a heart of compassion for one another, not criticism, compassion. He says it ought to be filled with kindness. Kindness. This is one of those profound marks. You flip over to the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to see some similarities to what's going on here. And then he talks about the idea of humility. One of the great promises in Scripture that God personally says he'll respond to for those who are humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. He will use you for his purpose. Gentleness and patience. And so not only is every single person of absolute value, but we are have value because we are in Christ and God has chosen us. There's no insignificant person who's part of the body of Christ. Then he goes on and he talks about, and I'm just going to use the word forgiveness. We are chosen, we are holy and beloved, but we're not perfect. And so there's times in the family that things happen. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Well, that sounds pretty simple. But one of the things that becomes sort of those unseen coral reefs that can tear out the bottom of churches is people who won't resolve differences, who won't resolve complaints, who would rather leave the church than to go face-to-face and reconcile and bring renewal. And because we're family, God says one of the most distinctive marks of a grace community is their willingness to bear with the imperfections and the brokenness of one another, and they're willing to forgive. Even if it's just a complaint as opposed to a massive offense, that one of the things that is a characteristic of a grace community is we're willingness to forgive one another. And then he goes on and talks about love. And this one probably you could talk on for weeks. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You've often heard the old saying, well, I love you, I just don't like you. We can learn to like one another because of Christ's love for one another. If we are greatly loved by God, and he loved us while we were sinners and ungodly, surely the scope and the magnitude of his love can teach us how to love one another. It's not an option. It's not sitting on the sidelines and spectating. It's not just being indifferent. It's not just being isolated. That love has a requirement that I've got to allow people into my life. I've got to allow them to touch my life, and I've got to be allowed to touch their lives. So that the idea here is that we're not islands. We need God's love to be expressed in the context of community. Then he goes on and he talks about this sense of unity in verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Unity has those three components. It's this idea of peace that rules in your own heart. It is this sense of being called to peace as a body, as a community. Hence, that follows the idea of bearing with one another and forgiving each other. And then there's this sense of being thankful. We live in a world that at times can be profoundly negative and cynical and skeptical. And all those things can just gnaw on you like toxic poison. And it usually becomes the product of a heart that's bitter and envious and struggles. But thankfulness is a product of a grace community where the presence of Christ really becomes Lord of our life and really expresses itself in whatever ways that the body can discover it. Then he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And what is profoundly unique is that this is a parallel passage to what you find in Ephesians 5:18, where he doesn't say, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. It says, be filled with the Spirit of God. So there's a community of grace is a Spirit-filled, word-driven community that eats and nourishes itself on the Word of God and allows the Spirit of God to be the ultimate balm to nurture the community of faith. They're really saying the same thing. And one of the ways that it expresses itself is what we might call singing. We might also call it worship. Not just singing for the sake of singing. Not just, and you'll notice he uses a variety of different things. Singing the psalms, singing hymns, singing spiritual songs. There's a whole variety of different, there's no one way to do it. There's no one particular formula that we're, it's the variety and the whole creativeness of worship by itself, and it's one of the distinct marks of a grace community. And so even this act of coming together and singing is an encouragement in a way that we honor and exalt Christ and nourish the body out of this sense of grace because we're willing to come and allow that to be a mark of our lives. Even if you won't get on the worship team and sing. It's a great, well, that's why I'm not on the worship team and sing either, so we're in good company. But there ought to be something almost unrestrainable within the believer because there's nothing that's more appropriate than when God's people worship and sing about their Savior. That needs to be a hallmark of a grace community. And so then he finishes up by, after all that, in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It brings up the idea of thanks again. One of the great marks of a grace community is people who are profoundly thankful. But the idea here is also this sense of missional. Whatever we do or say, it all is doing it on Christ's behalf. We represent the Lord Jesus both to one another and in the world. And so there's always this missional component that I don't live life for myself. I'm living it for Christ. So even us introverts have to learn for Christ to bring healing out of our own brokenness. So it's not all about us. It's about living in a way that other people can see Christ. For extroverts, it's the same thing. They like to put themselves on display because they think that's the way it's done. And they need to learn as much as introverts that it's about magnifying the person of Christ, not ourselves. But the joy is we have the privilege to do exactly the same thing, and God does it in a multitude of ways through every person, through the way that he's created them. And God places you in the world, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, and wherever you happen to be, in the way that you can reflect the presence of Christ to people around you. There's a missional component to this. Now, the reason I mention all this is for the simple fact of saying, that's kind of what I told them they were stepping into. All these people are affirming covenant community. Because really the idea here is, what does the word say that we ought to be as the people of God, as a church of Jesus Christ? And this is a description of a grace-filled community that needs to be marked by these characteristics. And one of the real easy parts of this is that's what you heard from them. The reason they want to belong here is because they've seen these kinds of characteristics in your lives. And it needs to continue to be our journey. So what I'm going to do to finish before the team closes us off is to have all these people come back up on stage and just stand behind me because I want to ask you as a question. So come on up now if you're out there and just line up behind me. Don't block each other's vision kind of thing. Is I want you to respond to this question. Will you, as a community of faith, be committed to welcoming these people into our family and being that kind of church? And really, what I want to simply encourage you is to respond to me. I really want them to hear your heartbeat, just by saying we will, is will you be that grace-filled, spirit-filled community of faith that they're about ready to step into formally. Will you do that? We will. And that's what we need from you. You know, we're not asking you to do extraordinary different policies or save the world. We want you to be exactly what Christ wants you to be. Bring your unique abilities and talents, whether you know all how you fit or not, all those kind of things. We want you to reflect these characteristics back to us, because that's what we need. You can go into the world and get all the criticism and negativity. It doesn't mean we don't deal with things truthfully and try to encourage one another and hold each other accountable. But will you commit to being those kinds of people in this community? Well, let me pray for them. Let me pray for us as we continue to submit before His throne of grace and allow the Spirit of God to keep transforming us, not only by the people He brings, by the work that He does in every one of us. Let's pray together. Father, we are so delighted that You're a God of profound grace, that because we have died with Christ and we have been raised with Christ, we have been given the freedom now to seek You with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. We can put away the old life, and sometimes that feels like a struggle, and sometimes it feels like an endless battle. But You've given us everything we need for life and godliness. You've given us a community of faith that can encourage and pray with us and move alongside of us in the journey, that we can have relationships with people that in many ways will reflect Your grace and Your love and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That people will be thankful for our presence. And Father, we want to be intertwined as a family to deal with life. Sometimes those moments where we need to forgive one another, and other times that we just absolutely want to celebrate with joy. And this is a day that we get to celebrate because you've brought us people to our family that we know isn't an accident. You've chosen them and called them, and You've brought them to our place because You know that we can grow further than where we're at because of their presence. And so we thank You. I thank You for Cray and David and Heidi, for the Hubers, for Mike and Ellie. Father, I thank You for Ben and Bethany and their family. Father, I just ask that You will continue to nurture them. Help them to drink deeply of Your grace here. Help them to know that we need them if we're going to continue to be a community of grace and one that fulfills Your purpose and Your kingdom work. And for all of this, we give You praise and we honor You. We reaffirm our love for You again as You continue to work in our presence. And we welcome them as a family of God because of all that You have done. And all God's people said, amen.